Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Yes, good morning, welcome. It's Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. I am Jesse, programming coordinator here at CJSF at the radio station. And today's show and all of our programs that are made here at CJSF are produced and broadcast from the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkomelem and Squamish speaking peoples, who have been here in this place for a very, very, very long time, longer than anyone can remember, gathering, sharing stories, sharing music, building culture, building relationships, getting to know each other, and learning about the world and all of the people that make up this world. And so, as I host this program, Speak Up, where I share stories and some music and learn about the world, I know that it is important to remember and reflect on my place as a settler here, as a descendant of settlers, and just knowing how lucky and fortunate I am to be able to be in this place and do the things that I love to do so much and share this time with you. So thanks for hanging out this hour with me. We've got a few things to listen to together. I have, three, maybe. I don't think I'm going to get to four because one of them is too long, but we got a bunch of stuff to play. I guess it will be four. It'll just be a different four, as well as some music. But we're going to talk about the Pomo Museum. We're going to talk about the SFU Pipe Band, and we're going to talk about transit in Marple. It's going to go all over the Lower Mainland. And as a matter of fact, I believe the SFU Pipe Band interview is actually from the Skagit Valley in Washington, across the border, collected by our very own resident Celt and music director, Connor. But as always, on my version of Speak Up, which airs Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays with a different host, my version, Jesse's version, always starts with a little bit of local music. And we're going to go to an artist that is really great, has been shooting up the CJSF charts, is a wonderful person, and has put out a new album called Wish I Could've. This is by Yon, and it's called, unfortunately, quite appropriately, World is Burning, here on CJSF.
Waiting, anticipating, oh, the pressure's building. Kinda got the feeling like I've got a new lease on the life I'm leading. Where I just abandon everything I'm feeling. And as it gets darker, I don't have to see it. I can close the curtains, choose not to believe it. Everybody's laughing, we're having such a good time. Everybody's dancing, we don't read the headlines. 'Cause the world is slowly burning. I can't help this earthly yearning. Size of people
Listen to music and podcasts from CGSF 90.1 FM with our radio app. It's on-the-go listening made easy. You can tune into all our music, spoken word, and multicultural shows using your device. Our app lets you set reminders so you'll never miss your favorite show again. Stay connected to CGSF 90.1 FM through our community radio app. Download the app from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.
Welcome back to Speak Up. That was Yawn, World is Burning, a fun little bop about, well, the state of things. I'm Jesse, this is Speak Up, which you can listen to on that radio app that, I think that was Sasha, just told you about. Sasha does a Tuesday afternoon Speak Up, yes, and is great at it, and but you can also listen online, cgsf.ca. All of our programs are there. You can find past episodes of this show and others. But now we're going to get into the talk part of this talk program. We're going to start with, we'll start with Danny's piece about a community town hall type event about transit expansion in the Marpole neighborhood. So without further ado, let's go there.
This is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. On July 14th, Movement YVR, a public transit advocacy group based in Metro Vancouver, hosted a community discussion on the city's planned increase of bus lanes on Granville Street in the Marpole neighborhood of Vancouver. The side lanes of Granville Street in Marpole are primarily used as street parking. City Council's current plan is to replace this parking with designated bus lanes. So while the current plan does not involve increasing the level of service in Marpole, it serves to boost the efficiency of current bus routes within the area. The event was hosted at the Marpole Neighborhood House and was attended by community members that were both for and against the slated expansion. Before the event, CJSF was able to speak with Dennis Agar, Executive Director of Movement YVR, to learn more about the purpose for the event, considering that this planned expansion had already been confirmed a year prior.
And it's really meant to be an open dialogue. You know, there's going to be representatives from the Business Association here. Historically, they've been a bit opposed to bus lanes on Granville. They're really concerned about the parking in front of their businesses. You know, they're really sensitive to anything that might pose a threat to their livelihoods, which is understandable. And so this event is really to try and just get everyone into the same room and have a chat. And see, you know, share each other's perspectives.
Dennis Agar then went on to explain why Movement YVR's advocacy efforts were still important, even though this plan has already been approved by Vancouver City Council.
Anything can always be overturned, I would say. It comes down to politics, right? That you put the right pressure on the right politician and things can be overturned. I've seen lots of transit projects be overturned at the last minute. You know, the Evergreen extension of the Millennium Line was going to be light rail until it was overturned. There was going to be three light rail lines in Surrey until it was overturned. And then it was, you know, SkyTrain. So anything can happen.
At the end of our conversation, Agar had this to say about public transit usage within MARPOL.
One thing I haven't mentioned to you yet, you'll hear it in the presentation, is that MARPOL is one of the highest transit-using neighborhoods of any neighborhood in Metro Vancouver. So basically behind like Joyce and I think Metrotown, MARPOL is number three for the highest level of transit use in Metro Vancouver. And that's remarkable, especially because a lot of people in MARPOL aren't that close to the Canada line, right? Like a lot of people are walking 25 minutes to the Canada line if they're doing it, or they're getting on the 10 or the 100 on Granville, but it's so stuck in traffic that, you know, we would love to see more people walking and going near the shops on Granville, but they're only going to do that if the buses are more reliable.
As Agar had alluded to, members of the MARPOL Business Association who are opposed to this planned expansion were also in attendance. This included Claudia Leroy, the executive director of the Business Association, who also gave a presentation on why she believed that this transit plan and the street parking that it would remove would be bad for MARPOL's local businesses. After the event, we spoke with Leroy, who had this to say regarding her stance on the current planned transit expansion in the MARPOL neighborhood.
Our small business members depend on the local community and people coming to shop here. We are not against transit. We are against the doubling of removal of on-street parking for little gain for transit users and no actual increase in transit buses or service.
We then asked Leroy if there were any public transit upgrade models for the MARPOL neighborhood that she believes would be most ideal for local businesses.
Well, I think the spirit of Councillor Kirby Young's original motion that was adopted by Council was for staff, city staff and TransLink staff, to find a balance between transit needs and business. And the proposals that we have been presented with by staff, both at the city and TransLink, only present one-sided proposals about servicing transit and speeding up buses to the detriment of the MARPOL community, to the detriment of the MARPOL small businesses that exist here, without any consideration or regard for ensuring the vitality of the small businesses and the commercial district and the pedestrian atmosphere for Granville Street. It's a very one-sided proposal, and we have been trying with staff and council to find the ways that we can work together so that it isn't completely one-sided and achieve the balance that is necessary to keep a local economy vibrant while also trying to improve transit, which our community does need.
While the Business Association of MARPOL is continuing their opposition on the proposed bus lane expansion, at the time of this recording, Vancouver City Council is still going forward with the planned bus lane expansion through the MARPOL neighborhood. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
Matador by Empanadas Ilegales from their fantastic new record, Sancocho Trifásico, which is also rocketing its way up the charts. A big favorite here at the station for great reason. They rule. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Thanks to Danny before that for his report on the transit community event at Marpole. Always interesting to hear the sort of opposing perspectives and the work to balance the two of those in terms of car traffic and bus traffic. I know where I land on that, but, you know, everyone in the community gets to have their voice heard, and that's the magic of public hearings and democracy. Anyway, we're now going to move on to our second talk piece of the hour. This one I produced. It's a bit of a close to my heart, I suppose. I saw that the Pomo Museum in Port Moody has junior archaeology camps this weekend. And as you may know, if you listen regularly, and if you don't, well, I'll tell you now. Part of the reason I'm here at the radio station is archaeology. I came to SFU in 2005 after graduating high school, all those many years ago, and I came here to do a degree in archaeology. And at that point, SFU was one of only two or three universities in Canada that had dedicated archaeology programs, as opposed to, you know, going and getting a degree in anthropology with a specialization in archaeology or whatever. I don't know that that necessarily really matters in the big scheme of things, but it made a lot of difference in terms of my decision making back then, and I'm really glad it did, because I ended up here at SFU, which in turn led me to come here specifically to the radio station, and that has been my life ever since. So I do have a degree in archaeology. I have done one excavation, I think, and that was I sat in with an excavation in Banff National Park one summer for a couple days, I think, and that combined with my desire to stay in Vancouver and play music and be part of radio meant that that's where my archaeological journey ended. But as this interview will show, I very much could have pursued a busy career in archaeology right here in BC. It's a fascinating discipline, and so we're going to learn a little bit more about that, both about archaeology, about the Pomo Museum itself, which it is called the Pomo Museum in Port Moody. I'm not shortening it myself, but I spoke with Ashley Chamberlain and Bryn Wiener, museum assistant and communications person for the Pomo Museum. And yeah, we're just going to get right into that. I spoke with them. The museum used to be, well, you'll hear about this. It used to be a train museum, and then it sort of pivoted to a broader history of Port Moody and area museum. But so it has this old sleeper train car on the property, and that's where we did the interview. So without any further ado, let's board the train and listen to my conversation with Ashley and Bryn.
My name is Ashley Chamberlain, and I am the museum assistant at the Pomo Museum.
What is the Pomo Museum?
The Pomo Museum is stationed within a station. it was built in 1908. It was the second West Terminus station built for the CPR rail, so the train that went all the way from Montreal to the West Coast. So we were supposed to be the end of the line, and then not exactly sure when, but we know that it got extended to Vancouver with that beautiful Pacific Center station, but we were first. So we're stationed in there. It used to be the Port Moody Train Station Museum, so it was primarily focused on, you know, trains and all that, but we've, you know, later rebranded to be the Pomo Museum, so we can really center around the community.
Tell me where we are right now, specifically.
Right now, we are in a first-class sleeper car that was built in 1921 called the Venosta. It's been refurbished, so it's a lot nicer. But we still have two bunkies on here, so you kind of see what it would look like, you know, if you were first class sleeping on here on the train. And now we're kind of in more of a dining room that's been refurbished and added on here.
And you mentioned that the museum has focused to be more sort of the history of Port Moody itself. What does that look like in practice?
Well, currently we have our Chinese Perseverance display. Before that, it was our indigenous one, and that was all repatriated to Tsleil-Waututh. But right now we're talking about sort of the history of Chinese immigrants and workers along the rail. They were doing the hardest jobs, given the most dangerous things to do. So we really want to acknowledge sort of their impact on what made sort of the start of Port Moody was this train and clearing for this train and how everything else got built up around it.
Is there anything that for you was particularly like surprising or interesting from this new exhibit?
That every kilometer, four people died. People were impacted from this, and people moved to Canada, you know, to be a part of all of this, and they weren't treated with respect as human beings. And so I think it's important that we acknowledge that, for as much as there's all the fun stuff. You know, I love the little mahjong stuff in there, and I love that big basket that we have in the display. I'm a big collections person, so I very much love that. But I think understanding the humanistic impact is probably my favorite part of all of this, good or bad.
Mm-hmm. Yes, my name is Bryn Wiener. I'm the interim executive director at Povo Museum. It also ties into a little bit about the different industries that created Port Moody as a community. So, as Ashley mentioned, there is like a mahjong set and a couple other things that actually came out of Kwok's General Store, essentially, which was the first Chinese-Canadian business that was owned in Port Moody. So it kind of illustrates the impact of that community because, again, how Ashley was mentioning, when they built the rail out here, the most marginalized people were the people that were given the most dangerous jobs. And as she alluded to, essentially, a lot of lives were lost along the way. But then it kind of shows you, ideally bring it into the 21st century and bring it to now, rather, as well, of how all of these things impacted what our community is today. So, again, it's touching on the railways. We've touched on the fur trade, shell fishing with Indigenous that would use the Burrard Inlet in this area as summer camps at times, or depending on what was flourishing at that time for people that were essentially nomadic as well. But also it kind of touches on other industries as well, like the oil industry, IOCO, built a community essentially across the water from us that is now the only ghost town in the Lower Mainland. That it was Imperial Oil Company. It's an acronym. That's what IOCO is for. So ESSO essentially built a community out there that a lot of people would start working out there. And again, kind of building that community of Port Moody, as well as lumber mills or steel fabrication, things like even Andre's Winery. So Baby Duck Champagne, or I guess Baby Duck Sparkling Wine, rather, was made out here. So again, the different exhibits around that we have showcase in the museum really illustrate all of those different aspects that kind of built Port Moody as a community. And now to present day, of course, we have the SkyTrain and other things that have made it a little bit more of a bedroom community, or SFU as well. We have lots of students that kind of come through and stay here, but yeah, it's kind of what's bringing us to present day and expanding a little bit outside of just being a train museum, or just kind of that connotation. So, but yeah.
Great. And can you tell me a little bit about the junior archaeology camp?
Yeah, so it's going to be a workshop on July 26th and 27th from 12 to 1, so either or days. It's really trying to get people interested. I think a lot of people don't know what archaeology is. I think a lot of students at SFU who move into the program didn't start there. They started in a different department, and then they most likely took ARC 131, Human Origins, most likely with Dennis or Frankie. And then they kind of go, oh, I really like this. Oh, this is so interesting. Wait. It's kind of another way of getting people interested in it, because archaeology is such a relevant industry in BC. It is heavily, I think, forgotten about. It has to be done with every construction project. So whether it's remote or if it's in the city, it's happening. It's happening everywhere. So it's really getting, I think, starting at a younger age of, you know, what is archaeology, and getting kids interested in it. Because I think a lot of people are interested in it, and they just don't really understand that it's archaeology that they're interested in. So it's getting them to, you know the basics of, like, how do we look for things in the field, as well as understanding the importance of it here in BC and how it's used to assist First Nations in solidifying their land claims, as well as just kind of letting people give it a try. They're going to be doing some sifting activities and doing some mini little EU kits, excavation unit, I should say.